Are you pregnant for the first time and not sure what to expect after your baby arrives? Or maybe you're a second, third, or even fourth time mama and thinking about postpartum worries, stresses, and overwhelms you. Let me be there to guide you and offer advice with my 2-hour focused postpartum planning call. We'll go over all my recommendations for an easeful and blissful postpartum, a postpartum where you and your baby get to sit and rest skin to skin, where you get to be fully nourished, where you get to be taken care of by those around you, by those you love, where you get to rest, where you get to let your body heal in her own time. This kind of postpartum doesn't happen, unfortunately, for most of us, without a lot of planning beforehand. Let me help you figure out how to make your postpartum as easeful, wonderful, and restful, and healing as possible. Included in this 2-hour focus planning call is my Nourishing Freezer Meals cookbook and postpartum meal preparation guide. It's 40 plus pages of how to prepare meals, how much to prepare, tips on freezing and thawing, and 18 recipes for breakfast, lunch, dinner, stews, soups, broths, muffins, and protein waffles, all things that you can batch cook and freeze ahead of time and keep in your freezer for after baby arrives. You'll also get my postpartum resource guide with all sorts of recommendations and resources for pregnancy, postpartum, motherhood, and just womanhood in general. If you'd like to learn more, you can visit our website at nourishfarmpanama.com and go to my postpartum consult page. You could also send me an email at nourishfarmturlock@gmail.com. I'd love to work with you. If this isn't for you, maybe someone you know, maybe a woman close to you, will be having a baby in the next few months or is planning on getting pregnant, share this with her. I'd love to help all the women I can. Postpartum is such a passion of mine, and you deserve to have the best one possible. Welcome, and thank you for joining us for Season 2, Episode 12 of the Pana Familia Podcast with Eduardo and Nicole, where we discuss our experience relocating to and raising our 3 young children here in Panama, share our journey of building our new farm and home here in Central America, and let you know what we're learning along the way. We're glad you're here. Vaminos!
Hey everyone.
Hola.
Welcome to the show. Today we're going to do a 1-year interview back and forth style
format. In honor of our 1 year?
In honor of our 1-year anniversary, Panniversary, as Nicole has coined it. You're going to see the 2 different styles here. You're going to have a well organized.
I'm not well organized. You mean for my questions?
For our questions.
We just thought this up like 30 minutes ago.
You can't see this, but she has a whole notepad of questions.
I have 3 binders full. No, and I just typed out a few questions I want to ask you because I don't want to sit here going, and have to like cut all that out.
And then you got the free flowing, the wheeling and dealing, on his toes, husband, Eduardo Trujillo. Ooh,
cool guy.
Cool guy.
He's got his cool guy. Where's your backwards cap?
Where's my backwards cap? My
backwards cap and scruff. It's my favorite look on him, by the way.
Yeah.
We celebrated last week because it was July 4th, July 5th. I don't know. I mean, we left California July 4th, but we arrived in Panama July 5th. So what really would you say is our...
All right, well, that's a really good first question. I would officially call our Panniversary July 5th, the day we arrived.
Yeah, and I guess our Exodus anniversary would be July 4th.
Which is quite a day to leave.
Yeah.
We've talked about that day many times.
We have. We don't want to relive it.
We don't want to relive it. We don't want to recap it.
I was surprised I didn't have like a mental breakdown at some point on that day last week. I thought I would have some sort of some like emotions come up, you know, but it came and went pretty uneventfully.
Yeah.
Well, plus he was gone, so.
Yeah, so that actually goes to my first question.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I'm not ready to jump right into it yet.
Okay.
Just let's just ease in a little bit. We made some coffee. It's a nice cool afternoon.
Well, a lot of times you always got like a timer on saying like we got to do this 30 minutes. Oh, there's the timer.
There's the timer.
We got a thunderstorm brewing, too.
Yeah.
It's been giving warning shots. We had one out, like, it literally felt like it hit the dome.
Yeah.
Down the road. Okay, well, all
right. So the idea for this episode is we each came up with some questions to ask each other around the theme of, like, being in Panama for a year. And that's that. And neither of us know what we're going to be asked, and...
Mainly because I'm going to be thinking of these questions on the spot for myself.
Yes. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, hopefully it's something new and fresh and not just the same old stuff that we've said over and over again about moving down here, you know? But we'll see, I guess. Okay, so you said you were already ready to move into your first question.
Yeah, I already got my first question.
So I guess you're asking first.
Yeah. So I was gone for the Panniversary, so I almost forgot about it because I was in El Salvador. But I want to know how you felt that day here in Panama. Knowing that you've been here for a year?
Like I said, it kind of wasn't as big of a deal or big emotionally or whatever in my head as I expected. But me and the boys did make a special day of it. We, instead of like just working around the farm or something, we went to the beach to celebrate. We found a bunch of clams, which was really cool because we haven't found enough clams to cook in a while. And it just felt like, you know, I kind of wanted to celebrate like, some of the like really cool things that we love about being here on that day. And that was one of them, like being able to just go to the beach for a couple hours and being able to like harvest clams from the ocean and being able to just play around in the sand and the water with my boys. I feel like it feels like it's been like forever, but it also doesn't. Cause like to me a year, like thinking about a year in the future seems like a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like it's been that long here, but it had, but also like so much has happened.
Like it's gone very fast.
Yeah. So just kind of like both, all of it. And I would not want to like go back to the beginning again, because it has been like, so it was such like a huge thing coming here.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought about that, like I reflected on that a lot that day, how big of a deal it was to just like bounce out of our life and restart our life here. You know, it's been a lot.
Yeah. Well, we talked about like that first night at the beach house when we finally like settled down from like getting there from United States, you know, the day and a half journey to get to the Las Lajas beach house, and we're like, what did we just do?
Yeah. Like, did we make the wrong choice? What are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know, like all the things you think after you take a big leap of faith.
Yeah. We were just like, oh, we're not on vacation. We're like living here now.
This is it. Like, this is where we're living. Yeah. Okay. So now what? I'll ask a question.
Yeah. You can ask a question.
Okay. I think this is going to be really hard for you. It's kind of a generic question, but I think it's going to be really hard for you to choose. Okay. I want you to pick like what your favorite thing is about being here. And it doesn't have to be about necessarily like Panama specifically, but what has been your favorite part about like living here for the last year? Can you try and pick one thing.
My favorite thing is the beach. The fact that I get to do something and I've one of my favorite things in the world. I mean, I always say, like, my favorite things in the world is, like, my family, food, and surfing. And I just get to go to this beach that's 10 to 15 minutes away, depending on how I drive, and just put, like, I go in my swim trunks already dressed. So, like, my hardest battle is taking the surfboard off my rack.
And getting eaten alive by mosquitoes.
And getting alive by mosquitoes. But I think I kind of figured that part out now, too. Just where to park at certain times.
Yeah.
But the fact that I get to do that, like, just whenever I want, I just still can't get over that. I still can't, like, believe that. Like, it just makes it all worth it to me. And then, like, there's so many times where we're... I mean, like, Nicole used to always say that, like, I can't sit... I can't hang out on the beach.
Yeah.
Like, I get... It's like, I'm either...
He's literally... When we lived in California, I don't think I ever saw him sit down maybe once or twice on,
like,
the beach.
Yeah, if we were in California, I'd either be surfing... Or I'd be, like, just looking at Nicole, like, let's go. I don't want to be here anymore. Like, I got my surfing. Let's go eat something.
It's time to go, guys. Daddy's done surfing.
Yeah. But now, like, I like this last year, I learned to just, like, hang out at the beach and just, like, play in the sand and run and just, like, jump in the water with the kids and get a little sandy sometimes.
Uh-oh. You really don't like getting sand on you that much,
Not really. Like, we live, like, in one of the most beautiful beaches in Panama, in my opinion. The water's clean. It's never crowded except for 2 days out of the year, New Year's and Christmas. And it's just a really nice beach. I mean, a couple weeks ago, I went surfing. It's just, like, a typical day, and it was just, like, one of the nicer, cleaner days, and the waves were pretty good. And usually I'm surfing by myself, and some ladies paddles out, and... We're catching waves, and she's like, where's everyone at? And I'm like, this is it. I'm like, there's, like, four surfers in this town, and this beach is, like, 3 miles wide long, and, like, this is it. And she's like, is it always like this? I'm like, yeah, every morning, you know, depending on if you come at the right tide, you know, you can get it like this. She's like, this is unbelievable. It's such a nice wave. And, like, I just, like, yeah, I get, and in my head, I'm like, yeah, I live here. I get to surface whenever I want. So when, how long... into living in Panama did it turn from, like, oh, we're living in Panama more to, like, it's more day-to-day, like, we're just, this is where we live, it's not really, like, the exciting, because we're starting to get, like, our routine and stuff like that.
Uh-huh. I don't know, that took a while. I mean, I feel like it was getting to that point, and then, like, the protest stuff happened, and that was just, like, too wild to feel like, oh, this is just life. I mean, I was hoping that wasn't just life. Plus, we were buying our farm and, like, driving back and forth and getting cows and stuff, and that was just, like, too exciting to feel like, you know, this is just life. I think maybe after the first month or so of being here, or maybe even the first few weeks of being here, and we weren't working on the dome yet. We were, like, waiting for Ignacio to come, and we were just kind of, like, living, you know. And,
oh, like that January, December, January.
Yeah, end of December, January, early February. Yeah, so I'd say when we moved here to this apartment out of the beach house, because the beach house just felt too, I guess, kind of vacation-y just because of the location, maybe. The fact that we could just walk to the beach all the time. And that's why, you know, before we left, I was like, let's try and enjoy it as much as possible. This is the last time we're going to ever live in walking distance to the beach, most likely.
Oh, yeah, there was that day where you were like, let's not worry about anything and let's just enjoy the last month and a half on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the beach, like, every day.
Yeah. Yeah, but, like, since we've been here and we really had to, like, buckle down and figure out how to live in this, like, tiny space with, like, a tiny kitchen and a tiny oven and everything, like, life has felt a lot more just, like, real, you know. And then once we started doing the dome and stuff, it got a little more...
Busy again.
But, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But even then, I still am, like... It still comes on, the feeling still comes on a lot, like, oh, like, I live here now, like, this is my home thing. The, yeah. The distance thing, I don't think about that as much. If I really do, then I'm like, oh, man, we're really far from
where we used to live. Yeah, there's moments where I think about, like, how far we, how far away we are from where we, you know, where we originally from, and just, like, it's really far. And then, yeah, there's just little moments here and there that you're like, oh, yeah, we live in Panama.
Yeah. So, since we've been here, not only have you, like, had to adjust to living in a different country, speaking Spanish all the time, and, you know, figuring out how to, like, buy a farm and build a house here and everything, but you also completely stopped, like, your career stopped. You had this, like, super busy job, this business that was yours, that you were working a lot. Hey guys, it's gonna start raining really hard in this next section. You can still hear us, but you can hear really loud rain in the background. But stick with us, it only lasts for maybe a couple minutes and then it quiets down again. So sorry about that. And that all stopped when we moved down here. So that's like a whole nother adjustment that you had to make. But out of, like, all those different, like, adjustments, and maybe some I didn't mention, what was, like, the biggest adjustment that you feel like you had to, like, mentally come to terms with down here?
I think the biggest adjustment was the work part.
Let me make sure. Hold on. It's raining really hard, so sorry if it's, like, there's a lot of background noise.
Yeah, it's kind of going off and on. The biggest adjustment was... It was, like, the biggest adjustment, but also the easiest adjustment. Because I'm like, oh, cry me a river. Was going from, like, working all the time, all day, to literally having nothing on my to-do list as far as work. I had to just keep up with a couple clients in the United States, and that took up about an hour every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks.
And, like, there's nothing else to do, but, like, I kept, oh, no, there's got to be something else to do. That was the hardest adjustment, to switch my brain to, like, hey, chill out. Like, you, like, there's nothing else to do. Why are you looking for work? Because there isn't any. That was the hardest thing in my brain. But the easiest part was, like, just not doing anything. Like, it was, like,
yeah.
I mean, I felt guilty about it first because I was just, like, laying on the hammock, just going to the beach, not really worried about anything. That was kind of the biggest adjustment, just because, like, my life in the United States was like work was such a big part of it, like a big chunk of it, big chunk of my just life in general, like even before I met Nicole. And I was so career focused.
Yeah.
That, like, it was hard to, like, finally just, like, not have anything to do.
Yeah, those first few months we were here is definitely, like, we had a lot of time to just, like, decompress, kind of reset the nervous system, like, rest from not only, like, yeah, like, you working all the time and, like, not being home a lot and stuff, especially those last, like, 6 months. But also, you know, like, everything we had to do to get down here and everything.
I really pushed it hard the last 6 months.
Yeah.
I really pushed it hard.
As far as, like, never having a day off.
Yeah, I really wanted to finish strong. But...
It was great for me.
Yeah. She's a trooper. She can hold it. She can hold her own. Yeah, so that was the biggest adjustment.
Yeah, but it was, like, a huge deal for you. I mean... You know, some people whose identity is, like, all wrapped up in their job could have had, like, a complete mental, like, breakdown. Luckily, yeah. I don't believe you did, right?
No. Luckily, like I said, I got the, you know, I got Nicole and I got the kids and surfing and I started playing basketball.
And we had a plan, too,
and we had a plan, too.
Yeah, but yeah. It's not like you didn't do anything. You just weren't going to work every day.
Yeah. So here's a question I got. That's very specific to you.
Okay. Specific to me.
Okay. Yeah. And good for the listeners to What is going through your mind when I'm gone and you're in this country that doesn't speak English? I mean, there's a handful speak English, but we live in a city that doesn't speak a whole lot of English.
Okay.
And you're just asked to, like, okay, you're going to raise these three kids.
Oh, you mean like when you go on your work
trips? Yeah, when I go on my work trips. Like, what's going through your mind when you're here compared to, like, if I did a work trip?
Over there.
Or do you think there's not much really?
For me, like, I'm not. Maybe if it was, like, the first month or two.
Yeah.
That we were here and I wasn't comfortable in this area. Maybe if we didn't have, like, friends around. The very first one, I definitely was nervous.
And that was the longest one, too.
Yeah. But after that, like, I mean, I was so used to, like, taking care of them by myself and going places by myself and getting them all in the car and out of the car by myself all the time that...
Hashtag deadbeat dad.
No, because he would work literally every morning until 1 o'clock. So if we wanted to go to the farmer's market or go grocery shopping or literally go anywhere any morning, go to church, like, I had to do it by myself. So I just got used to that. So, yeah, I'm in a different country, but it's still, like, I don't know, as far as, like, what's going through my mind, I didn't feel, like, scared and abandoned and, like, oh, I'm helpless. And, I mean, those are not words that ever would describe me.
No, that's why I'm, like,
just... I would just figure it out, you know, and, like, Jude's a really big helper, and they all step up when you're gone, and we talk a lot about how, you know, mommy's alone now, so you guys have to be better helpers, even more so. I mean, when we first talked about this job before we moved here, I was a little concerned, like, oh man, I'm gonna be all alone down there. But, like, now that I feel more at home and comfortable here, like, I mean, it's not like I have a swarm of people around me helping me, but we do have a babysitter. And we have friends and stuff that I could call if I needed to, and that know that you're gone, and that know that I'm by myself, and check in. And
yeah, that's a thing about here. It's like...
All the guys, the workers over there, like, yeah, knew that you were gone and were helping out with the farm stuff, you know, like...
Yeah, everyone's just very helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Okay. Not the damsel in distress. All I heard is, like, you got to take, like, 3-4 more trips a month.
I mean, I definitely do need to, like, get away when you get back, which I haven't even done yet, but just to have some time to myself. I feel like I need to be better about that, but...
Hopefully the dome helps with that space.
Yeah. Let me see what other interesting ones I have. Okay. Can you think of your least favorite memory since moving here?
In Panama?
Yeah, like your least favorite.
Oh, that's a good question.
I was talking about that chimichanga place the other day.
I'm thinking about the chimichanga place couple weeks ago in Boquete. Boquete's this really nice town. And we went on a Tuesday or a Wednesday? What day was
it?
Yeah, it was like the middle of the week for an errand, thinking we could still get in at the restaurants we like.
So I love this town. We had this misconception about this town, but we like to go up there and just kind of get away. And there's a lot of places to eat. So we go there, we go to the grocery store. And
will you go see if Jane's crying, please?
And
just listen by the door.
The reason we drove there, the material we were looking for was not there. So I'm like, all right, strike one. I'm like, okay, well, at least we could... eat something good, something different. Went to the second place that we wanted to eat. Closed.
I gotta go get the power cord.
Okay. And then, after that...
It was also, like, really rainy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Then, went to the third place we wanted to go eat. That was closed, too. So then, at this point, we've already been driving around for, like, 30 minutes. And we wanted to make it a quick trip. It's like, hey, just get our thing, grab our food, and go. So I'm like, we've already spent too much time here. So we finally found a place to eat, and we walked in there, and it was just like the server was rude. The food was like not bad, but not horrible, but not great. The floor was wet because it was concrete. It was like a food truck type of place. So the concrete was wet, smelled kind of funky.
Not kind of funky. It smelled like a sewer.
I'm just trying to be nice.
It smelled like their toilet was overflowing.
Yeah, and then we were just sitting there. The food's taking forever. We have this really rude waitress waiting for the food. I didn't even know what to order, so I just got they said they were famous for the chimichanga, so I just got whatever. I'll just get their quote unquote go to move. We're just sitting there and just smelling in the bathroom, and I'm like, this moment couldn't possibly get any worse. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this guy pulls up with his guitar. I'm like, oh no. And then he just starts telling us, he's going to play for us. And he just got really aggressive about telling us that we need to tip him, basically.
He called it collaborating.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, he wants to play with people. And then he said, after I'm done playing, I will come table to table and ask you for money. And you don't have to give me any. That's totally fine. But just know this is how I pay my bills.
Yeah. So I was like, are you serious? Are you serious? And I was just so annoyed. And there's this older couple there. I was just looking at them. They're all clapping and enjoying themselves. And they're making me more mad because their happiness was bringing me more anger. And I'm like, how could you
Requesting songs.
Requesting this. And the guy's so this guy's playing reggae music. And
he
then
he played a Bob Marley song.
He plays a Bob Marley song. And then I think they're Texan or something like that. The guy's like, can you play Three Little Birds? And the guy goes what song is that? I don't know that song. Then I get more annoyed. I'm like, how do you play Bob Marley songs and you don't know Three Little Birds? And then me and Nicole start talking about isn't that his song?
His top song.
So on the way home, we looked up top play.
Well, and then he asked No Woman, No Cry. And he was like, oh, I don't know that one either. Sorry.
Yeah, it's three of the four top songs of Bob Marley. Now I'm getting more annoyed about it. He can't play.
Okay, baby.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
let's wrap it up.
Just everything was so I was telling, I had literally walked up to the lady. I was like, hey, we need our check. I gave Nicole the look, and she just grabbed the kids and started walking. And I just paid.
Just as he finished. And he was about ready to do his round.
Yeah. I was like, we are not going to stick around for him to walk to our table. That was probably my least favorite. I mean, that's probably the most recent least favorite memory. I can't think of any older ones.
Okay. Side note off of that, me and the boys went to Boquete last weekend.
This is hilarious.
And we were eating at the sandwich shop.
Great place. Love that place.
Yeah, it has really good food. And right towards the end of our meal, guess who walks in? Mr. I Only Know One Bob Marley Song himself.
Oh, my.
And he plops himself. He doesn't even have a stage area. He stands in the doorway where you have to walk in or walk out. So you have no option but to walk right past him. He gives the same spiel in Spanish and English. Hey, I'm going to play some songs. I hope you like them. After I'm done, I expect you to give me money. And the restaurant people are just letting him play there.
Yeah.
It's so bothersome. I wouldn't mind just some music, but it was the aggressiveness of him expecting you to pay him for playing when you didn't ask him to come, Especially if he can't do requests.
Yeah, I was in El Salvador and she texted me
the picture
and I was dying.
I was guess who's here?
I was literally dying. Which makes sense. Boquete is a small town. But it was just
hilarious. We've never seen him before. We've been there five times.
Yeah. Okay.
One more question each, or what?
Yeah, we can do one more question.
Okay.
Was there ever a moment outside of that first night where you were like, oh my gosh, what have we gotten ourselves into? This is a huge mistake.
No. No. I don't think there ever was. I can't think of one. Honestly, I was always kind of waiting for it to happen. I was always, not always, but I was kind of expecting there to be some of those throughout our time, especially throughout the first, few months.
Yeah.
There was a few times when the power would go out
right as we were trying to get the kids to sleep, and that's when Jean wasn't sleeping and everyone would be crying and we're all hot and sweaty, and that I would be like, what have we gotten ourselves into? But it was never like, oh man, I wish we weren't here, or like, we made a huge mistake. Like, I never felt like that. This entire time, I've always felt like we're exactly where, like, we're supposed to be. No matter how hard or challenging or annoying or, like, confusing it has been, I've just always felt good. And, like, I feel like you have, too, because we've talked about it, and I feel like that says a lot. We've both, like, the whole time been like, yeah, this sucks or that sucks, but, like, this is where we are now, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I feel the same way. Even during the protests, I was never like, what have we gotten ourselves into? I think during the protests, all I wanted to do was like leave for like until the protests were over and come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
But other than that, I was never like, this was a horrible idea.
I want to get out of here and never look back. Or, yeah, no.
Yeah, it was never like that. Yeah, we've been pretty lucky. We haven't had any, like, oh, we got robbed or something like that moments or...
No.
I mean, Panama's a really safe country, like I said, or at least where we live.
Quasi.
So, that's good.
I'm just wondering how this is going to sound.
Yeah.
It might sound really bad, guys. Sorry. It's pouring. And we can't go inside. Okay. I feel like this is a good one because... I don't think we've ever talked about this. Okay, the rain is quieting down a little bit. And hopefully that last part where it was pouring, I can tweak it a little bit so it sounds better. We can't go inside right now and record because all the kids are in there sleeping. But my last question is, what would you do, if anything, differently?
Differently?
Yeah, about, I don't know, it all, like, anything that has to do with, like, moving here or since we've been here, any decisions we've made, anything we've done since we've been here, is there anything, like, big in your mind that sticks out that you would, like, do differently?
We've done everything perfect. I'm just kidding. The thing I would have done differently, I think... Instead of staying at an Airbnb in the beginning,
okay,
I would have made that a little bit more shorter term.
Like temporary, and then we look for something better.
Yes.
Quicker.
Because we spent the first... I mean, it was nice. The first 6 months were nice to live by the beach. But... I feel like we've done pretty well everything else. Like, we didn't get screwed over for what we paid for our land, and we haven't had any shady, like, construction people. You know, but, like, I feel like the one thing, I mean, we bought a new car, and, like, we got a pretty good deal on it, you know, because you can just, all that stuff, you can kind of, like, just compare it to other stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, I think land, you're just always looking at lands, and
You know what's a good deal and what's not.
Yeah, because, yeah. You know, you don't just buy the first thing you see. You look at everything and you see what, okay. But I feel like the one thing we could never really get a good grasp until we actually lived here was the rental market.
Well, I think we knew coming in it was expensive, right?
Yeah, we knew it was expensive, but, like, I feel like we could have, just because we didn't want to move.
Again. Well, we, like, moved in there with all our stuff and got settled, you know?
Yeah,
and then it was like, are we really going to pack everything and move?
Again.
And it had to be furnished, right?
Yeah, but, like, I would have maybe been a little bit more aggressive about looking for another place.
Sooner. Like, maybe stay there for a month and then find somewhere more convenient.
Yeah, more convenient or, you know, better price.
Cause
we were paying a lot of money. I mean, a lot by Panamanian standards. It was still cheap by American standards. But, like, by Panamanian market, but you just can't go on Craigslist and look at a bunch of rentals. So I think that's the one thing I probably would have changed, just to, like, save some money in the beginning.
Yeah.
But other than that, I feel like we've done everything, like, pretty well. Like I said, we haven't been screwed over. We haven't, you know, everything's been pretty straightforward.
Smooth. Yes.
Smooth. Everything's gone pretty smooth. Our construction guy's amazing. I mean, we always talk about how great he is, and yeah, I think that's the biggest.
Yeah, and it wasn't even like.
We were only there for 6 months.
And it was really cool to be there. We lived by some cool neighbors. We got to go be around people easily. We got to be by the beach.
Yeah, I got really into pickleball too.
When I was now there. You never play.
I never play.
We got the produce guy.
Yeah. It was so cool just to walk to the beach every day.
Any last questions for me, baby? Or are you ready to wrap up?
No, I think I got everything.
Okay. Well, there it is. Our 1 year Panniversary question, interview, wrap up. I think it'd be fun if we did this every year. Eduardo had to run, so I'm ending this out by myself. Like I said, hopefully I can get that really loud rain noise out that was going on for about 10 minutes, and I will work hard to do that with my very little editing skills that I have here. As always, we appreciate you all and hope you have a great weekend. Ciao.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And we'll see you next time on the Panna Familia Podcast.